Good morning. I have the privilege of sharing at random places all over at different times. I never, ever, ever really feel nervous, to be very honest with you. It's a bizarre kind of thing, except when I'm here. This is like my family, and you're my friends. So I'm really nervous this morning, in a good way. The title of the message is Seeing is Believing. And I really appreciated what theologian Robert Alter, he said about this passage and commenting on it. And he calls it an ecstatic celebration of God's dominion over the vast panorama of all of creation. Isn't that an incredible thought? An ecstatic celebration of God's dominion over the vast panorama of creation. C.S. Lewis says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything. Mary Beth is going to read Psalm 104 over us this morning. But I want you to do, can you help me out? Just relax for a minute. Here's your arms folded, unfolded. Just relax. I want you to close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, if you want to leave them open, that's fine too. No one's going to touch your cell phone or wallet. But let Mary Beth read these words over to you, and I want you to pray quietly to yourself, Lord, help me see who I am in your story. Lord, help me to see who I am in your story. Who do I see myself as in the light of this vast panorama of your creation? Who do I identify with in the song? What do I see as my identity, my role, my place in the story? What's really important to me? Mary Beth is reading, just ask yourself, what are some of the values that you live by? Why do you do the things we do? What are some of the talents, our God-given abilities? What are we truly good at? How do we live out our life? How does our attitude affect our actions? What does our personal space, home, school, work, whatever look like? And where and whom do I live out my life? How do I perceive and manage myself? Lord, who am I in your story?
Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers. Flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the field nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chamber. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down down in their dens, then man goes out to work, to his labor in the evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the leviathan which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you, to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they swoon, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. It's the only real response to the ecstatic celebration of God's dominion over the vast panorama of creation. Friends, how we see ourselves in God's amazing story is absolutely crucial to how we're going to behave and how we're going to live out the life that God has given to us. Solomon, near the end of his life in Proverbs 23, writes, For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a woman thinks in her heart, so she is. As a family thinks in their heart, so they are. As a church thinks in their heart, so they are. In our passage today, the psalmist broadens our narrow vision in a sense of life and expands it and amplifies it and shows God's huge perspective. And then the psalmist sort of rushes in into the middle part and kind of encourages us and even challenges us to lift up our eyes, to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see and to hear and to feel and to live into God's viewpoint of life. And our response to God's awesomeness being filled with awe and crying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. On the other side of the veil, we're going to get to say praise the Lord a lot, so we should practice it a lot on this side, shouldn't we? Someone say amen.
Amen.
Someone say amen with a bit of gusto. Amen?
Amen?
God bless you. I know you're breathing. Friends, Scott shared last week as part of the message in Isaiah 55, he said of how the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And certainly God is distinct from creation, but God is not distant. God is distinct from creation, but he's not distant. God is spirit, and therefore, in his essential being, he's invisible. But also God is our Father and our Son, our Holy Spirit. They live together in community. They live together in worship. They're on mission together, and they invite us into that and into those events. And God makes himself known in the natural environment, its ecosystems, rhythms, events, and creature and his creation. And in Romans 1, chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says this, God's eternal power and character can't be seen. But from the beginning of creation, God has shown what these are like by all that he has made. My prayer all week has been, Lord, help me to see myself in your story. That's been my prayer for you, that each of you would leave here today seeing yourself somewhere in God's story. Lord, help me to see myself. Because when I see myself in God's story, everything changes. Everything's different. Linda, how you see Grayson is different when you see him through God's eyes. Can I get an amen, Linda? Right, Lindy? Uh-huh. That's Presbyterian for amen.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes when we see things through God's eyes. My concern for us, and kind of the cautionary tale, is that, Jesus says it best in Matthew 13 and verse 14. He says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving." And I pray that that would not be our story. Friends, we need to be looking upward. We need to have a higher vision, a higher calling, a higher sense of things. And the question is, are you seeing the bigger picture of yourself in God's story? Or do we always find ourselves getting tripped up over all the little things? Woe is me. Life's rough. This went wrong. That. Do you find yourself fixated on the down things, or are we looking up toward God in the higher things? Christ said in a prophetic reference to his life and ministry, to Calvary, to Easter, to his resurrection, the ascension, and his place of intercession on behalf, our behalf, said in John 12 and verse 32, he said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And Luke 21 and verse 28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's really easy when things get tough to start looking down and do the woe is me. It's a whole other thing to look up and put our trust and our hope in God. Friends, you may be here this morning, and some of you are like, is there anybody here going through the valley of the shadow of death? Is there any honest people? Yeah, there's a few of us. And maybe you're about to go into the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you're on the cusp of some big decisions or big life choices. And what I want you to, what my hope is, that you'll be encouraged today from the words of the psalmist in 104, and also what Jesus encourages us in John 16:32, when he said, "I've told you all these things so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Chris and I know what it's like to be in a bit of a challenging time. We're in a season of our lives, some of you know. I finished a role that I was doing at the end of the year, and kind of discerning what God has next, and doing some training, and trying to train a 56-year-old brain again is like really fun, but it's been hardwired a certain way. Somebody said, "Man, you're really brave or really stupid." I just took it at that. But in our family life, like Chris's mom, as some of you know, has been through a really rough time health-wise of late, and we're thankful that she's been settled in her care. But that's been a real challenge on Chris and her sisters and brother and the extended family as well. And then my wonderful wife the other day on Friday afternoon got to be a ham sandwich, the ham in the ham sandwich of an automobile accident. Friday afternoon, Chris was the center vehicle of a 3-car collision. She got rear-ended and then banged into the vehicle in front. And there's this part of me when she phoned, I went, "Oh, Lord, okay, enough is enough is enough." I'm really thankful, as you can see, that Chris is here. But kind of whiplashed a bit, and we're praying and trusting for that. Our car went off on the wrecker to the ICDC yard to get assessed. When you assess a 2006 Toyota Matrix. But it was interesting, in the call, when Chris phoned, there's in my mind, I went, "Lord, I'm looking up to you." Because, "Lord, this doesn't look good." You know, rather than going into that, And when we look at the Psalms, we see how the psalmist sees himself in the light of God. We see with our spirit, we see with our heart, we see with our soul. And when facing uncertainty, Al, you might have to help me, because all of a sudden it stopped working. There we go. I'll hit it harder. Wow. That's interesting. In the verses in the passage, we start to see God for who he is. I honestly did not put that effect in, but hey. When you go from a PC to a Mac, right? I don't know. Thank God, you're amazing. Start to see ourselves, though, through the psalmist's eyes and through God's perspective. We see God for who he is. that the psalmist talks about in the first four verses. We see the majesty of God's creation. We see God's provision being poured out. And that affects us because when we're looking and wondering where our provision is going to come, we can see that it comes from God. We see our place in God's time frame. We see God's wisdom revealed in all kinds of different situations and challenges in our lives. We see God's hand extended. We see man's response to the glory of God, which is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. A number of years ago, I was involved in a ministry with World Vision. It's called Neighbor Link. In Canada, in the United States, it's called Love in Action or Love Incorporated. Started by a guy in Michigan. And 20-odd years ago, we helped to bring the ministry into Canada up in Northeast Edmonton. Northeast Edmonton and Claremont is kind of like the Surrey, chunky, bad part of Surrey, because there's good parts. But, you know, do we have a bad part here? Like Edmonds used to be. For the long time. But that is a pretty tough neighborhood. And NeighborLink, what it did is, it was a ministry that linked churches and volunteers with helping agencies in the community and to help help to bring transformation in the neighborhood. It was a neat way of doing it. And I remember working my gizzard out for a year, working with churches and agencies and praying and crying and weeping and fundraising and organizing and all this kind of crazy stuff. And it just happened that on the day that the ministry opened, I got to be the volunteer on the phone. And so I was just jacked over the moon. Like, wow, this is actually happening. God, you're doing something. You're not just the God of this huge, you know, creation, but you're the God that cares about this little postage stamp of Northeast Edmonton that's going through some real tough stuff. And there's all kinds of people with addiction and abuse and abandonment issues and every kind of crazy thing under the sun. And so the phone rang, and after about 20 minutes, the phone rang, and I was like, I'm sweating. I was like, whoa, it's somebody you need. You know, and I pick up the phone, and it was a guy. And he's like, yeah, I need 20 bucks. Marco, are you with me? I need 20 bucks for gas for my car to take my friend to the airport. And I'm kind of going, oh. Well, you know, I'd love to help you, but we don't give cash. But you know what? I'll bring $20 worth of gas out to your house, wherever you live. Just tell me where you live. I'll bring the gas to you. No, I don't want to bother you. Just give me the money. And well, you know what? I mean, we'll drive your friend to the airport for you. I'll have a volunteer come over. No. You know, and 5 minutes and 10 minutes of this dancing around, he just rips me up. You and he's every bad word you can think of. Bam! And he hung up the phone. And I sat there. And just a ball of tears. And I was so angry. And I thought, Lord, what? It was not nice. I don't think I swore. But I just remember thinking, are you like... Oh. And I stay in touch with the ministry. The amazing thing is, that was the first call, the first in all of the Western Canada. Since then, they've had 20 years of amazing ministry. The neat stuff has gone on. But I stay in touch a little bit online, and I got this story from this guy on Friday afternoon. And I just, you know how you hear a story, and all of a sudden you're just like, that was me. And here it was, this Love in Action office. The phone rang, and this guy, it's Jimmy phoning. And it's Jimmy, and he says, hey, it's Jimmy, I'm really sick. I've got a fever. Can you come and help me? And Jimmy was one man that the Love and Action Ministry helped regularly. You know what I'm saying? And Jimmy, though, was dying of AIDS. And Jeff was that overworked church volunteer. You know, he was absolutely angry. I mean, he put in 60 hours that week, 40 hours at his job, another 10, 15 hours volunteering in the community, and he was just angry. But he promised to go right over. Have you ever been that kind of angry? Lord, I know you want me to do this. Man, I really don't want to go. You know what I'm saying, Jim? Come on, buddy. Be honest. Yeah. You know, you're going to help this person. You know the God will help. But you ain't doing it in a very good mood. You know what I'm saying, Dave? It's just not going well. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, Lord. I'm doing it, Lord. I love you in Jesus' name. And that was Jeff going over to help Jim. He promised to go over, complaining the whole time about the inconvenience. And as he got to the door of the apartment, Jeff almost buckled over as he was blasted by the smell of vomit. After forcing his stomach to settle, from an involuntary gag, Jeff went in and found Jimmy shivering on the couch in absolute distress. Jeff went in, wiped the sweat off his forehead, got a bucket of soapy water to clean up the mess. And Jeff managed this facade of, you know, concern, even though he was still raging inside. That's exactly how I felt in that phone. The facade of concern, raging inside. Jimmy's friend, Russ, who lived upstairs, also had AIDS. He came downstairs, and the odor that he smelled made Russ sick, and he vomited. But things are getting a little bit bad. Jimmy's friend Russ threw up, the odor made him sick, and Jeff started to clean the carpet around Russ's chair as well, and he was absolutely about to explode inside. And then Russ said suddenly, "I get it! I understand." "What do you get, Russ?" Jimmy said weakly. "I see who Jesus is," Russ said through the tears. "He looks just like Jeff." That night, Russ trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. God had used Jeff to show his love in spite of himself. Friends, we see God in the panorama of creation. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. And we see him right in the eyes of that person that we really don't want to help out. Friends, everything changes when we see God through his eyes. I love my namesake Thomas in the Bible. Doubting Thomas. John 20 and verse 29, Jesus' response to Thomas's lament, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands," you know, I can just see it now, "and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And Jesus' words of reassurance to Thomas, "Because you've seen, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The Lord knows where each of us comes from. The Lord knows each of us here. He knows why it's so difficult for us to trust anyone. Is there anybody here besides me? It's hard for me to trust people. Go ahead, wave your finger at me. Go ahead, wave your finger. I'll just stay here all day. So some of you are having problems trusting right now about doing this trusting exercise or waving your fingers in the air. The video's on, it might be seen. But you know what? As we grow in seeing who we are in God's story, my prayer is that tiny little flame of trust that each of us has will grow to become something that fires our entire lives. And can I make a little deal with you? I want to make a deal with you. As much as you're able, rest in whatever trust you have in God. No matter how small, okay? I need to be transparent. I got to this part of the sermon in the middle of the week, and I was kind of messed up, and I was playing around, and I was putting these random quotes in, and Scott was so gracious, he's been so busy, and he said, "Hey, Tom, if you want to send me the message, I can have a look at it, see if I can help or whatever," and I thought, "Oh, that's great." So I kind of slapped a couple of things in right at this point in the message, and I sent it over to Scott, and Scott was so cool. He looked at it, and he goes, "Oh, Tom, you know," he's like very gracious, "you know, that's so good. I see some good thoughts. Here's a couple of ideas," which were really helpful, by the way. And then he said, "But Tom, this point, it just doesn't. Like, is there something else you could do?" And I felt like, busted. You know how you cut and paste an article and just slap it into something? You know, I put some random quotes in here. They were fluffy, feel-good quotes. You know, and Scott just sort of went, and I went, "Yes, Lord." But the amazing thing was, And the add-on of Scott's encouragement to me was this part, and so I want to quote Scott this morning, because the quotes that I got were horrible. But this is, I was wrestling Scott, honestly, with hope and trust and everything, and this is what Scott said. No, that's not what Scott said. But it'll come. And it was a comment about hope and trust. And so I got done this, and I'm going to put it on our website here, because Scott, this is brilliant. What the psalmist is trying to say, and Scott said it so succinctly. Hope is linked to trust, whereas optimism is a form of wishful thinking. I put in some wishful thinking things at this point. And as such, hope can be honest about difficult circumstances. It's rooted in reality, the promise of God, and anticipation rather than wish or wishful thinking or sunny disposition. The psalmist in Psalm 104 is rooting hope in such reality. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It all hangs together by His grace and His power. Therefore, I am not without hope. Amen. Hope. Say it again, girl. The rest of them will join you. Amen. God, you know, amen. Seriously, this is absolutely right. My hope is built on nothing less, right, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? Sinking sand. Everything else you put your hope in is going to fade away, but not when we trust in God. I love what the psalmist in Psalm 121 says this. He goes, I'm going to wrap up with this. Maybe not, I'll go on for a while. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Do you feel like that sometimes? Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Friends, we need to continually look to God, trusting in the One who gives our life lasting hope and meaning. Again, my cry is, Lord, show me in your story. Show us in your story. As a call to commitment and action this morning, I want to ask you to do something besides yawning and going, is the guy done yet? Can you work with me on that, Michelle? Okay. At least Michelle and I are here. We're with it this morning. I want to ask you, what is your response to the psalmist? Will you begin to see your world through God's eyes, hear it with God's ears, feel it with God's heart? It's sort of a daily and an ongoing thing. It's like you said, you know, a friend and a scripture and boom. You know, it's that ongoing relationship with God and His Word that makes all the difference in the world. Do you see how it changes how you look at this world when you look at it from sort of a godly perspective? I love what Paul says in facing the challenges of the world. In Romans, his world, in Romans chapter 8 and verses 31 to 39, Paul says, we can also say this today with Paul, rather, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Will you stand with me and I'd like you to invite you to share the last part of the verse together with me. We know in all these things we are. Whoa! I need a little chutzpah here, and it just comes out this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do it all together with a little bit of chutzpah. Minyak chutzpah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither life nor death, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to invite you to remain standing. I think Natalie coming to close this prayer. Friends, we can expect results. We can expect healthy changes in our life situations as we see God for who He is. As we see the majesty of God, the Creator and God's creation, as we look to Jehovah Jireh, the God whose provision will be seen and poured out, as we see ourselves, our work, and our life in God's time frame, as we see God's wisdom revealed in the questions and issues and challenges that we're facing. And as we respond to the glory of God with shouts of praise and hallelujah. Would you say one more, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord.
Bow with me in prayer as we pray from Psalm
104. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord God, you are very great. Your creation is evident in spring. It's hard not to worship you. We look at the beautiful cherry blossoms and smile. We smell the fragrant flowers and are refreshed. We hear the birds sing your praises and rejoice. We feel the strength of the winds and are reminded of your power. We take shelter when the rain comes down hard, and yet you have set boundaries that waters cannot cross. Never again will the waters cover the whole earth. The moon marks the season, and the sun knows exactly when to set. The sea is vast and is spacious, full of living things. The trees are well watered and tower above us. The mountains reach the skies and take our breath away. Lord, why is it that although you take care of the plants, the animals, and all of creation, we do not trust you to take care of our lives? We are anxious and worry about so many things. We are afraid, mostly things that we cannot control. We doubt your word and your spirit's leading. We plan our days without seeking your will. We fill our time with so many activities and do not make time for you. Forgive us when we go our own way. Give us your peace and calm our restless hearts. May your glory endure forever. May you rejoice in your works, O Lord. We will sing to you forever. We will sing praises to you for as long as we live. We will meditate on your most precious name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Friends, before we go, there's just a couple things to take note of. So you should have gotten three things. Go ahead and take a seat. Although you standing makes me go quicker, which is good. But you've got three things as you came in. So one is a letter from the elders that is just talking about our discernment process that has been ongoing now for about a year, kind of giving an update on where we've been, what we the different steps, and we're inviting the church to pray with us about a decision to sell the property and to test this. So this isn't yet a final decision. This is testing or weighing, or now asking for us to pray and to feedback on this direction. And so there's a number of opportunities on the back side of this that we're inviting people into prayer. One is in mission groups. But another is a prayer walk after our celebration in the Willoughby neighborhood after our celebration next week. So please connect with your congregational leader or mission group leader or somebody if you have questions about this, and we can get the information to the right people. So that's the first thing. Second thing is next week is the beginning of Easter week. So next weekend is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus walks into Jerusalem and everybody lays palm branches in front of him as though they're welcoming a conquering king. And so it's one of the high points of the Christian calendar. And so we want to celebrate this together as a church. So the time's different. We're at 9:45. The service starts at RP in Robson Park in North Surrey. If you don't know where that is, please connect with me or with Dan or with Craig afterwards, and we'll make sure you have the information you need to get there. So there's also pancake breakfast at 9 a.m. That the Edge is serving. So please come early, and we'll have breakfast together. We'll have the service at 9:45. And Kaylee and Kyson, it's such a good pancake breakfast. Kaylee and Kyson actually thought about not going to Europe for a little bit. I mean, I almost had Kaylee convinced this morning. So please come, because Kaylee and Kyson will be missing it. And so next week, 9:45. Now, that begins Holy Week. And so we have a Maundy Thursday. We're going to have time in homes on Maundy Thursday, the night of the Last Supper. So please, again, connect with Dan or with Craig or with myself about that in terms of where this is going to happen. We'll have it in several homes throughout Burnaby. And then the weekend. So after a Maundy Thursday, over the weekend, we now for years have done 36 hours of prayer and fasting from Thursday evening until Sunday morning, and we have a sunrise service. And so we invite you to participate in that. We've already got kind of sign-up sheets in the back, and we just ask people to sign up for two-hour prayer slots between Friday and Sunday morning. During the day or in the middle of the night or whatever, and information about that will be ongoing. But this is it's a season of prayer and preparing and focusing and celebrating this just important high point, central week for us as Christians, the week of the cross and the week of the resurrection. So if you have questions about this, please don't hesitate to ask. There's information on the city as well, and we'll continue to talk about this. So I think that was it. Okay. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, remembering how it is that God sees us and the story that he invites us into. Amen. Thank you.